As we've been talking in the Sunday morning messages, we've been talking about the subject of thankfulness and giving of thanks. And I mentioned this morning how that it's easy for us to give thanks to God when things are going well, when things are going good. But when troubled times come, that's when it's hard. That's when it's difficult for us to give and offer up our thanks and our praise to God. And that's just natural. It's just a natural human response, a natural human reaction to difficult times. It's just not a natural thing to be thankful, to be appreciative when we're going through a difficult time. And so the Bible gives us, actually, I'm just going to be in Hebrews and James tonight. I have six things I want to share with you right from the book of Hebrews and a couple from the book of James that deal with the subject of endurance, of you and I enduring things in this life, okay? And that's what our Christian life is. It's not a sprint. It's not, you know, hurry up and get a lot of things done. It's an endurance race. We're in this thing for the long haul until the Lord Jesus Christ either calls us home through death or if he comes back to gather his children together when he raptures the church out. We're here for the long haul. And I think, you know, I think people, especially a group of Christians that will come to church on a Sunday night, we realize that. You know, we realize that how important it is to be faithful and to follow the Lord and serve the Lord for that long period of time. So many times there are Christians that the first time problems arise, the first time something goes wrong in their life, they want to quit. They want to give up on God. And so we need to come alongside them and be an encouragement to them, to help them, to let them know that, you know, even though a difficult thing is happening, we'll get through this. You know, we can get beyond this and pick up the pieces and continue to move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so hopefully the things I share with you tonight, maybe you take notes or whatever, we can take and use these things to be an encouragement to someone else who maybe is going through a rough time in their life. And so several examples here of people and things that have happened that teach us a lesson about the subject of endurance. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 6, if you look with me down in verse 13. I'm not going to read a lot of verses tonight, but I want us to see this, okay? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13 through 15, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." And so we see that in verse 15. After Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so we learn a lesson from the life of Abraham about endurance. And it's interesting here that the writer of Hebrews, Paul, we believe, the writer of Hebrews, talks about how that Abraham received that promise. But remember what the promise was. God promised Abraham that he was going to make of him a great nation. Okay, to be a great nation, you need a few things. You need a lot of people, okay, and you need a lot of land. And when Abraham died, he had neither, okay? He owned a grave plot, and he did have the son that would be that child of promise. And yet, Paul, when he writes in Hebrews, he said that Abraham had received the promise from God, and he did. You know, eventually Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 tribes of Israel, and they did become a great nation. That was the promise that he had given to Abraham, and God did fulfill that thing. But really, in Abraham's lifetime, he really never saw that thing fulfilled. He only had the faith to believe that God would do that thing. But even after God had promised Abraham that he was going to make a great nation of him, you think of the number of years that transpired before Abraham even had that child. And most of us that are here tonight know our Bible well enough to know that Abraham and Sarah did things to try and help God to fulfill his plan, okay? And so he wasn't perfect in his patient endurance, okay? But he did patiently endure, and eventually God brought that promise to pass, and they did have that child, and so Abraham knew that God was going to fulfill that promise, okay? You know, I can relate to old Abraham there. You know, there's things in our life, we wish God would just take care of these things right here and right now and eliminate this problem or answer this prayer or whatever it is, but, you know, what the Bible's teaching us is that we need to endure like Abraham did. You know, we need to learn from him. And certainly Abraham, probably one of the greatest Christians mentioned in the Bible. And certainly we talk about him a lot, and we have a lot of Sunday school lessons on him and everything. And so certainly we understand how important Abraham is in God's plan. But we see how that God dealt with Abraham and through Abraham and stuff. And so we can learn a lesson from his life about endurance, about patiently enduring to obtain the promises of God. You know, we like it when people fulfill their promises that they give to us, you know. But God, you think about the promises that he has given to us in the Word of God. And I've heard preachers say before that you can't go through any page in the Bible without reading a promise from God. I don't know how true that is, but certainly our Bible is filled with the promises of God. And God has a lot of great things that he can and will do in and through our lives to be a blessing to other people as well. And so those promises are there, and God intends full well to fulfill those promises, but we need to learn a lesson from the life of Abraham. And so, you know, again, a Sunday night crowd, faithful crowd, I think we know this, we understand this, but, you know, maybe the next time you're talking to a brother or sister in the Lord who's struggling, who's having a hard time, and they're wondering, you know, where's God, why isn't he doing this, that, or the other, maybe we can refer them to Abraham. Maybe you could take them to this place and see here how that Abraham himself, this great Christian, and we sing the song, Father Abraham, how great a man that he was and how important he was in the plan of God. We see how that even he had to endure. So we can take heart in that. We can relate to that. You know, I think all of us as Christians, we have, you know, people that are heroes to us, heroes in our faith. You know, some of us might have heroes who are dead and gone, okay? Heroes that, you know, who are no longer with us. Maybe a great preacher of old, or maybe even somebody in the Bible. Probably one of my favorite characters is in the Bible is Peter. And I guess I relate to Peter because Peter made a lot of mistakes, you know, and they're there for us to see as we read the Bible and as we see the things that Peter did. He was the first one to step up. He was the first one that pitched in, but there were so many times that his foot got in his mouth because he said the wrong thing at the wrong time. I can relate to that, you know. I kind of like that guy, you know. And we see how much God truly loved him, how important Peter was in God's plan. And so I can relate to him. So, you know, there's people that are heroes in our faith, you know, maybe again, people that were in the Bible or Christians of old that are passed on, or maybe even people now that we can look up to that we respect for their witness and their testimony that they had. And so it's important for us to have people that we can look to that can be an encouragement to us. And Abraham is one of those people that we can look to, especially when it is that we're struggling, because we know of the struggles of Abraham. We can go back into the Old Testament and we can read about everything that Abraham had to endure, how he was afraid for his own life and how he was afraid that he would never receive this child of promise, even as he was getting older and older and older and older. And yet God finally eventually did fulfill that promise. And then even after the child was brought into the world, God told him to go up into the mountain and sacrifice the child and testing his faith and such. And so there are a lot of things that Abraham had to go through. And we can relate to that, you know. Sometimes we think, you know, oh, Abraham, he was a great Christian, and so he lived his life on easy street, right? No, that's just not the case. You know, King David, oh, great King David, this was the first king that got anointed. He lived his life on easy street, right? No, David spent the first part of his kingdom living in caves and hiding from Saul, okay? Again, not easy street by any stretch of imagination, okay? So we can learn from this. We can gain a little bit from this from ourselves, okay? So that's our first one there. We learn from the life of Abraham. Next, we turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, and he calls us to remembrance of our own salvation, okay? I talked about this just a little bit this morning, about remembering our own salvation, about that time when we got saved and how important it is for us to remember our salvation experience and to relive it and retell it, really, okay? But Paul writes something here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. He calls us to remember when we first got saved, about how our life changed. Now, mind you, if you grew up in church and you had a Christian family and a Christian home and Christian friends, then this next one's probably not that big a deal to you, okay? But like for me, who didn't grow up in church and didn't have a Christian family and didn't have a Christian home, okay, per se, this means a lot to me because there was a big change that took place in my life. You know, the people that used to be my friends when I was going to high school are no longer my friends, but God gave me new friends. So let's look at this here. Verse 32, Paul writes this. He says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, in other words, after you got saved, after you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were illuminated, you saw the light, as people might say nowadays, okay? You saw the light, you accepted Christ. He says, ye endured, there's our word, endured, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. And so he calls the people of that day to remember how their life changed drastically after they got saved. He talks about the fact that they were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions. People in that day, during Jesus' day, when they received Christ as their Savior, it was a big change in their life. They were cast out of the synagogue. They were not allowed to do business with other Jewish people. I mean, it was hard for them. And it talks about the spoiling of their goods somewhere else. Verse 34 talks about the spoiling of their goods and how their goods were taken away from them. And so people that got saved in that day, it was a hard thing for them, okay? It was difficult in that people talked down about them. They were mean to them. They took their things away from them. They had no livelihood. But he says also, we became the companions of them that were so used. And so in those early days, even though we lost people that we thought were our friends, now that we're saved, God gives us new friends. And really what I like to say, they're true friends, real friends that will stick closer. Like the Bible says, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, referring to our Savior. But we have Christian companions as well that are a blessing to us. And so our next lesson on endurance calls for us to remember the former days, as he says. And the remembering of the former days is to remember when we got saved. When we got saved. And I've shared this with you before, but I remember when I first got saved and started going to church, I was amazed, and it's something I'll never forget, that when I went to church, I saw teenagers there in that church that I knew growing up. And I'd be like, really? You're a Christian? I know how you live. I know the kind of life that you live. You never told me about Jesus. You never invited me to church. And I remember that. That really bothered me then. And so it's important for us, to teach our young people that, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid of our Christian witness or our Christian testimony. We need to build up the brotherhood, that fellowship of the brotherhood, if you will. Okay? And so our next lesson about endurance is to remember the former days. Remember when we first got saved. And as I said, if you grew up in a Christian home, this one's probably not that big a deal for you. It was almost like it was expected for you to get saved or whatever, and just a kind of like a natural step or a natural progression. But for some people, it was a huge change in their life when they get saved. And now all of a sudden, their old friends don't want nothing to do with them, and they're talking about them. Oh, come on, you don't want to go to church. Let's go, this party. Let's go do this, And I can't do those things. My life's been changed. I'm not the same person that I was, okay? And so that's our second lesson on endurance. The next one, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple of them here in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look with me just in verse 2 there. This is a lesson from the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know about endurance, you don't have to look any farther than Jesus himself. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And so always, Jesus is our ultimate example. When you want to think about endurance, you want to think about enduring through some hard circumstances in our life, you have to look no farther than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of what He had to endure. And this, it doesn't matter how long I'm a Christian, doesn't matter how many times I read my Bible, doesn't matter how many times I preach the Easter story, doesn't matter how many times I think about this, it never ceases to amaze me that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had every ounce of power to get out of that situation, still went through everything that he had to go through, from the whipping to the crown of thorns to being nailed to the cross and through giving up his life, dying and going down to the depths of hell. And he didn't have to. He could have said, Father, rescue me. And the Bible even talks about he could have sent a legion of angels to come and rescue him. And we sing the songs about that as well. And yet Jesus did it. He endured that because he knew it was what God wanted. It was the plan of God, and he went through that thing. And so, you know, that's something that just kind of gets me. It just kind of tickles my spine every time I think about it, how I think about what my Savior went through. And he says, listen, you have not endured unto blood like Jesus Christ did. When we think of the blood, we think of how in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, and the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And we think about how his body was so beaten and mangled and marred, and the flesh just ripped and the blood tore from his body. And you just think of the blood that was poured out. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And so it was a very bloody scene. He says, you've not done that. And thank God we don't have to do that. All I need to do is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And so, my friends, we've not had to go through what Jesus went through. Because of what Jesus went through, we don't have to go through that. And so that's another lesson that we learn on endurance. Just the next verse then, verse 5, he changes it a little bit here. Watch this, verses 5 through 7. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with a sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And so he talks about that chastisement from the Lord. And I don't know, there's probably not a Christian alive that can say that I've never been chastened by the Lord. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, we'd all have to stick our hand in the air and say, yeah, the Lord's had to get after me before. You know, he's had to correct me. And I'm thankful that he did. That's what Paul's writing about there, right there. He says, it's a good thing that he says, because if God doesn't chasten you, then the next verse says, you're an illegitimate child. You're not truly a son of God if God doesn't chasten you. And so being a child of God, we're going to be chastened of him if we're not living right, if we're not doing right. God's going to get after us. Amen? And that's a good thing that he does. But we need to endure that chastisement because it brings us, it corrects us, it gets us back to where we should be or what we're supposed to do. You know, and he goes on to talk about how that our parents in the flesh, how that they correct us. And we thank them for it. And, you know, we revere them for it because they correct us. They keep us, you know, from doing something wrong that would be a harm to ourselves or to someone else. And we thank them. So we need to thank the Lord and praise the Lord that he chastens us and get us back where we need to be in our own lives as well. Okay. And so chastisement is another one of those things that we need to learn to endure through. We can learn through that as God. It's kind of like that growing process. As God chastens us, we learn from that thing, hopefully, amen. We learn from that so we don't make the same mistakes again, so we don't do the same silly things again and fall into sin again. So we learn from that chastisement, and it makes us to be a better person, okay? Real quick, we learn from Abraham, who patiently endured to receive the promise of God. We learn about endurance as we remember our own salvation experience, how that people didn't appreciate that so much. We learn endurance from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think about him going to the cross of Calvary. We learn endurance through the chastisement of God. Now we change a little bit and we go to the book of James, just the next book in your Bible. And James talks about this endurance as well. This is Jesus' half-brother, James, who writes these words to us to encourage us. A couple of things that he teaches us, and they kind of go hand in hand, but we'll look at both of them. The first one is in chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1 here down in verse 12, if you look with me there. James writes this, he says, blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Well, we'll stop reading right there. But he's talking about that temptation that comes into our lives. We are all tempted. I'm not going to say we're tempted every day of our lives, but we are all tempted. The devil is constantly after us. James later on goes on to say that the devil is like a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, and that's what he does. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. As I was watching some football on the TV today, I noticed a show that they were, I think it was on Discovery Channel or whatever, but there was this guy out in the African jungle, and he was in a glass box, and the lions was all around him, and he was watching the lions attack the box and stuff, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to do that even if I had a glass box around me. That would just really just kind of rattle my nerves to no end, to be in that box with them lions trying to get at me and stuff like that. But that's kind of how we are. You know, we are protected through the power of God. We are in the hands of God, and the devil can't do anything against us that God won't permit, okay? But still, that devil is constantly coming at us, looking to devour us, looking to destroy us, if we will. And so we have to endure that temptation because we're not perfect. We have a sinful nature, and we will always have a sinful nature until the day that we die and then finally God gives us that glorified body. We will always be sinners saved by the grace of God. And so we must learn to endure that temptation. And James goes on and later, and he teaches us that when we're in a tempting situation, what are we supposed to do? One word he says, flee. That's what he tells us to do. Run, get out of there, you know. And so don't be there. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But he tells us we are to flee. We're supposed to get away from that thing. And so another thing that we need to learn to endure through is temptations in our life. You know, don't think because, and I don't think we do, but don't think because I'm tempted that there's something wrong with me. That's just a natural part of life. It's when we give in to the temptations, that's when problems arise. And then finally, look with me in chapter 5 of James. One more thing that James shares with us here in chapter 5, down in verse 7. Again, very closely related to what we've been talking about. But verses 7 through 11, James writes this. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And that's my key verse there, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The last thing when talking about endurance is we need to be patient. He talks about the prophets who were patiently waiting for God to fulfill His plan. You think about the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. What's the one thing you have in common with every prophet? The people didn't listen to them. That's what you have in common. They stood, they preached, they warned the nation of Israel to get their hearts right with God, or God was going to bring judgment. And did the people listen? No, they did not. Once in a while they would. And so once in a while God would stay His hand of judgment, okay? Especially the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom never listened. They never had a good king. They never did anything right. From the moment they broke away from Israel, they were on a path of destruction. And finally they went off into captivity. And then finally the southern kingdom, a little while later, went off into captivity as well. Okay, but you think of the prophets, he says. You know that they preached and they preached and they preached and nobody listened. And if you know Jeremiah, he also wrote the book of Lamentations, which means to lament or to cry. And so lament, Jeremiah was known as, what was his nickname? You know, he was the weeping prophet. That's what his nickname was, okay? Because the people wouldn't listen to him. So take them as an example. And then he mentions Job. You know, it's funny, there's a lot of people, Bible scholars and people, that don't think Job is a real story. They don't think that it belongs in our Bible. They say we should slash that out of there, that it's just an allegory or it's just a story that was told. But here we have James, who is the half-brother of Jesus himself, okay? Using the story of Job as an illustration. And they say we should take it out of there. I don't know about that. But anyway, certainly we know the story of Job and what he had to endure. A righteous man that the devil went before God and tempted him and all the things that Job went through. And in the end, God blessed him twice, double everything, brought it back to him. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We see that. And so we talk about that patience. We need to have that patience. Problem is, and we say this as a joke, but it's true, we all want patience now. Amen? Isn't that how we want it? And that's how we look at it. But that's just not the way that it works. And so we need, as he says, use the prophets as an example. Use Job as an example. We talked about Abraham tonight. We talked about Jesus tonight. We talked about a lot of different people that went through a lot of different things. And the key to all of this thing is endurance. We are in this thing for the long haul. Till the very end, till we get to the very end. And so we just need to keep on moving forward and doing the thing that God would have us to do. Keep moving forward. You know, I find myself saying that at work so many times. Just keep moving forward. Just keep doing the next thing. You know, don't worry about everything that needs to be done. Just do the next thing. Do what that next step is. And that's all I can control. I can't control what everyone else does or what everyone else says or what how everything's. All I can control is this old boy right here. And this old boy just simply needs to do the next thing. No matter what it is, just do that next thing. And if I do that, eventually it will get done. Eventually those tasks or those jobs will get done. And so endurance, we're in this thing for the long haul. Hopefully this is a help to us tonight. And as well, as I said, we can take these things and maybe help someone else, a younger Christian or somebody who's struggling in their faith, and we can take some of this and help them to encourage them in their faith as well, because there are so many people that are just giving up on the faith, and we need to come alongside them. And as the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. We need to do that thing tonight.